and Hagman Report. Thanks, folks, for tuning in. Thanks for your belief and your trust in us as a member of the independent media that we are. Independent. Independent. Understand what that means. We cannot be bought off. We cannot be compromised. We will never be compromised. As Andrew's talking about the money that's available to counter the propaganda, so to speak. And I have heard, and I'll just leave it at that. I've heard where, and I can't prove this, where, hey, if we can get some grant money for you, this is not us, but, you know, if we can get some grant money for you, would you agree to, you know, sourcing our news as opposed to what you're broadcasting or what you're putting out on your website? And people, everyone I know is flat out, you know, said no. I mean, it's only two instances really, and it was hypothetical as opposed to direct. So, but nonetheless, you've got to know that this is coming, and that's just going to make it more difficult, especially for those established in the independent media. If you hear a sudden change, for example, of how they do things or what they talk about or what they won't talk about, even, it's going to be, although it should be relatively easy to identify, it might not be. So anyway, we have to be very cautious and wary of that. We have Dave from X22 Report. Folks, x22report.com. It's a fantastic website, a fantastic YouTube channel, very popular. And it's Dave's, he's got his background in technology. He's worked for large financial institutions. He's a really, I mean, really a very well-informed researcher and part of the independent media. All right, he's coming up right here, right shortly. Before we get to Dave from X22 Report, I got one phrase for you. HelloFresh, or one website, HelloFresh.com. I am really sold on HelloFresh.com. My wife and I use this food service. We are customers. We love it. You know, it doesn't matter if you're a busy professional couple, large family that runs at a breakneck pace, or someone who just wants to start cooking more. HelloFresh.com makes it easier, tastier, and healthier than ever to enjoy the experience of cooking new recipes and eating together at home. Not just new recipes, but just delicious food, and food that's not just good, but good for you. From creating the recipes and planning the meals to grocery shopping and even delivering all of the pre-measured ingredients, HelloFresh delivers right to your door so you can skip all of that. And we love that convenience. HelloFresh currently offers customers a classic box or a veggie box, and they're going to be launching a family box. Customers can order 3, 4, or 5 different meals per week, designed for either 2 or 4 people. New recipes are created every week, and I have to say there has not been one recipe, one dinner that HelloFresh has provided for us that has been not to our tastes. HelloFresh is the meal kit delivery service that makes cooking fun, easy, and oh, so convenient. We don't have to go to the grocery store anymore. Each week they deliver, HelloFresh delivers and creates and delivers new delicious recipes with step-by-step instructions designed to take around 30 minutes for everyone from novices to seasoned home cooks who are short on time. And HelloFresh sources the freshest of ingredients, and they are fresh. I mean, you open that box, and you can smell the freshness, whether they're the herbs, and measured to the exact quantities needed. So there's no waste. There's no waste at all. They employ a full-time registered dietitian on staff who reviews each recipe to ensure that it's nutritionally balanced, and all delivered to your doorstep in this great special insulated box for free. And again, my wife and I use this. We are getting our week's deliveries tomorrow. Okay. Actually for the weekend. That's the way we planned this out. And, we've cooked up. In fact, we're looking for the, chicken and, this chicken and I think it's pistachio rice. Oh, but we selected the options, and my goodness, we just can't wait. And we like to cook together. It gives us time to talk about business, talk about world events, and talk about things that are important to us. folks, we have a special offer for you. Go to HelloFresh.com. That's HelloFresh.com. Promo code. Use our promo code Hagman35. That's Hagman35. What does that mean? $35 off your first week. Promo code Hagman35. The website, HelloFresh.com. Go there. Spend some time. Look at it. Sign up. And use our promo code Hagman35 for $35 off your first week. You won't be sorry, and you'll be thanking us because it is a fantastic service. Dave from the X22 Report is joining us right now. Without any further ado, thank you, Dave, for hanging with us and for joining us tonight and talking about some very important items that we need to get into.
Thanks for having me, Doug. Glad to be here. Man,
appreciate it. You know what? Let me take a step backwards here. And folks, you've heard Dave from X22 on before. He was on once before talking about a number of things. But here we are. We're, 16 days away from a presidential transition. You just did a report today, the latest Sentinel alert about the political financial roadmap for 2017. Should we start there? Because, I mean, where do you want to start? There's so much to get into.
Yeah, we can start there. That's not a problem. I mean, I can explain where I think everything is headed. I've been looking at the economy for a very long time, and when I saw the data that the government was putting out and I looked at the hard data of what was really going on, I saw two different things happening. And what we're seeing today is a complete breakdown of the economic system. Now, a lot of people, you know, that I speak to say, I don't see it. I don't know what you're talking about. Well, no one really saw it back in 2008 either. Everyone was thinking that everything was fine. I mean, that's what they were telling us. And we look today and we see in the news that the holiday season wasn't that great. Macy's, Kohl's, and many other stores, they're going to be closing stores once again, laying off people. And I always go back to, if the economy is recovering, and of course the administration that is in office right now is telling us that we're at 4.6% unemployment, why would all these stores be closing? And it's not just this year. If we go back in time, it's each year leading up to this point. So we've had mass closures, retail is declining, and as we look at more and more economic data, it's separating, and I knew this was coming, it's separating from what the government and the Fed is telling us, because they're telling us 4.6% unemployment. The last quarter was over 3% GDP, and the stock market, I mean, we're almost 20,000 points here. And when we look at this, those are their manipulated numbers that they're giving to us. And then we look at the real economy, and we look at retail, and we really see what's happening here. And a lot of people don't realize this, but in retail, when the government receives retail numbers, it doesn't mean that these are the actual numbers. The different corporations will feed it into them, and they will look at them and say, you know, we don't really agree with this number, so we're going to use our estimates instead. If a store closes down, like Sports Authority that closed down, they don't just shut off the sales for sporting goods. What they do is they spread it out over time, so there's not a huge impact on retail sales declining. So they do use a lot of manipulation to make it look like retail is doing a lot better than it really is. But what happens is, when we go through a holiday season, retail really declines very rapidly, because I know during this holiday season, I looked around my neighborhood, I didn't see that much garbage, and that's my gauge of, you know, what people are doing. I didn't see the big boxes. I didn't see a lot of bags.
I thought I was the only one that did that. You know, the garbage day, the first day, let's say, well, Christmas this year is Sunday. Let's say your garbage day is Wednesday. You know, typically, and I didn't know anyone else did that. It's amazing, because I always look, I walk my dog, and I look in other people's, you know, garbage and see, absent big box items or big boxes, or, you know, even this week, the second week now, thinking, okay, well, maybe, you know, they didn't clean out the garage. Nothing there. I mean, very little refuse there. So, good observation, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, these little things that when you look at all different things, you can see what's happening. And what worries me the most right now is that how the Fed and the present administration, how they're playing up how well the economy is doing. And we can see already the Fed came out today saying that they're going to be raising interest rates maybe three times next year, but at a faster pace, which tells me that this is not a good situation. And people say, well, why? What, isn't this going to be great? Well, think about it. Since Obama took office, he added about $9 trillion worth of debt. This year alone, he added about $1 trillion worth of debt. We saw what happens when the interest rates move up just a little bit. Mortgage applications, refinancing applications, they decline rapidly. Real estate traffic dries up. Do you imagine if the Fed comes in and starts raising interest rates at a faster pace? This tells us that the economy will not be able to survive this. And to me, that is a signal where they're screaming out to everyone that they're going to bring this economy down. Because when we look at the massive debt load that we have, and when we look at the tax revenue coming into the government, which is not a lot, because you have to remember there's a lot of people losing jobs and they're taking on part-time jobs or they can't find work, and the tax receipts are not there. This is why they created FATCA and GATCA. They went all over the world and made deals with the banks in Switzerland and many other countries to report those individuals that are making incomes in these other countries so they can collect. The only reason they did this is because they didn't have the revenue coming in. And if interest rates move up, there is no way they're going to be able to pay the debt, the interest on the debt. It's just not possible. And with real estate, if interest rates move up any further, it's going to be a complete disaster. If it moves up 1 or 2%, and real estate right now, this could create a domino effect, because real estate is connected to many different things. It's connected to lumber. It's connected to the concrete industry. It's connected to furnishing. It's connected to many, many different things. And when real estate goes down, almost everything goes down. And we're actually seeing signs that things are rapidly deteriorating, especially in the luxury apartment sector, where we're seeing there's a lot of apartments out there. They cannot rent them. So they're giving like six weeks free rent. They're just trying to get people to come in. So what I'm seeing right now is a big play on building this economy up. And it looks like Obama wants to leave office with the economy at its height. And I do believe they will bring the Dow to 20,000 points maybe by the end of this week. My timing is not always the best, but he wants to leave with 20,000 Dow. He wants to leave with the unemployment number at an incredible percentage. He wants to leave with GDP above 3%. And they're doing all of this. At the same time that they're doing all of this, they're pushing the idea of Russian hacking, which to me, I scratch my head and I start to think, why would they be doing this? And then I remember back to Janet Napolitano, who was head of DHS a couple years ago. When she was leaving office, she said, it's not if, but when the U.S. is hit with a cyber attack. Now, do I believe Russia is actually going to hit us with some type of cyber attack? No, I don't. Because they put out a 13-page PDF file, and on the top of this file, that this was supposed to be their proof that Russia actually hacked the DNC and the election system. It says, you know, this is without warranties. We don't know if any of this information is true. But what's very, very interesting about all of this, they left out a file from that report. It's an XML CSV file. And the XML portion of it, you can only read through an RSS reader or through a browser. And when people look at it, it just looks like gibberish to everyone. But when you put it in a reader, you can see what it actually says. And what they did was they listed the IP addresses of all the different countries that were probing the DNC and the election system. And there were 895 IP addresses. Now, it's very interesting how they didn't include this in the 13-page PDF, because it was easily done. I mean, you put it into a spreadsheet and you can include it. But I see why they didn't. And I see why they left it as a XML file. They didn't really want anyone looking at this. Because out of the 895 IP addresses that were listed there, only two were from Russia. And there were 40 different countries. One of them was the U.S., one was Canada, the U.K., and only two from Russia. And one of the IP addresses came from an area of Russia where it's a corporation, which is actually based in Great Britain. The other one is like a public IP address, like in a library. And any state actor would never, never use their own IP address to attack someone. And right. What we're seeing right now, to me, is this economy being built up. They couldn't get their candidate into power. And I think they're setting Trump up right now for this huge fall sometime in his term. And I'm going to take a guess that I don't think they're going to let it go too long before they do it.
I agree with you. I agree with you on that. I just want to, if I can, just insert this, just so people sure. understand what you're referencing. It was a couple of days before the end of the year. It was December 29th, I believe it was, that websites were given access to, and I think The Hill was one of them. They posted this article, the 13-page report by the FBI and DHS, claiming that their 13-page report was the smoking gun of the Russian hacking in the U.S. elections. And but what you're saying is what they omitted from that was the XML, what was basically the spreadsheet of the IP
addresses.
It was
a spreadsheet of the, yes, that is correct.
Yeah, okay, all right, 895 of them, and of course, these 895 indicators of Russian hacking. All of these were simply IP addresses, servers from more than, I think, 40 countries. But anyway,
yes.
Yeah. Okay, but it didn't tell the tale, nor did it even tell part of the tale. And I think there was what I can't even pronounce some of these names. I've got the list here, but. Bottom line, it's all garbage with respect
yeah.
to, you know, yeah, okay, all right. So just so people understand what they've
yeah,
talked about.
There's no link back to Russia from what they're producing right now. There's nothing there. And if you look at their timeline and you look what they've been doing with all of this, they started out where before the elections, Obama came out and said, oh, there's Russian hacking against the DNC, about Russia's attacking the election system. And he was setting all this up because just in case Hillary Clinton didn't receive the popular vote, they were going to use this to say that, you know, Trump was winning the popular vote, not the Electoral College, but the popular vote because of Russia. But it didn't turn out that way. Hillary, through their manipulation, got the popular vote. Trump worked on the Electoral College and got the Electoral College vote. So they couldn't use that at that time. So after the elections, they started to bring this up to distract everyone from what's really going on here. And we saw they kept on pushing the idea of Russia, Russia, Russia. And we can see right now, and I've always said this, they want a war. And I know it's hard to believe, and it's, you know, people say, oh, yeah, you hear war all the time. But they want something to start. They want to provoke Russia. And they've been trying to do this, but Putin doesn't play the game. He never did. Because if they really wanted to have war with Russia and Putin really wanted to have a war, well, back in 2013, when they had the sarin gas attack in Syria,
yep.
Putin, instead of making a deal, he could have just said, let's have war. When the yep. United States had the coup d'etat in Ukraine, Putin said, hey, let's just have war. But he didn't. He kept on trying to put off, and he kept on talking about peace. And the same thing with today in Syria. Putin could have had war, but he wanted the United States to work with him to get rid of the terrorists. So right now, the elite the establishment, they want some type of war. And they are pushing and provoking and trying everything they can. I mean, look what they did. They said, you know, they placed sanctions on diplomats. They told diplomats to leave. They seized their land, their property here in the United States. And Putin, what did he do? He said, hey, you know what? I'm going to wait for Trump. I'm not going to do anything. Nothing. And all of a sudden, we're hearing now that Russia is now hacking the power grid.
Right.
And they had a story in the Washington Post about the power grid getting hacked. And it turned out that it was another fake story. It was a guy who had a laptop, not connected to the power grid, worked for the power grid, but he had malware on his laptop, but it was not connected. That's where they got the story from.
Did the Washington Post ever walk that story back?
Yeah, they retracted it. Okay. As more and more people started to point things out, they retracted it. CNN, they put out the story about the Russia hitting the power grid and hitting the election system, and they put up a picture of a video game, Fallout 4, and they used that. Again, fake news. They retracted it. They removed it. But then today you hear Ontario, they're out there saying that, yes, Russia is attacking their power grid system. And they're saying, yes, we have many IP addresses, but we found one that's from Russia, so it has to be from Russia. So, I mean, or maybe two. I mean, you could see what's happening right now. And I do believe that we're heading into a period where these elite, they are pushed back against a wall. And they're coming out with their claws wide open, and they're going to create an event during Trump's administration to take control of the system once again. And we can see already that they're setting this completely up, and they don't care if people believe or don't believe. As long as the propaganda is out there and the majority of the people just hear it, because remember, yes, we're in the alternative media. We're looking into things. We don't believe it. We know they're lying. Many of the other people, I mean, there's a lot of people in this country, like 300 million plus people, they are just listening to the news every day. They just hear these bits and pieces of these stories, and they just go along with it. I mean, I know many, many people that just say, oh, my God, Russia's hacking everything. This is getting out of hand. They don't even realize that it's completely fake. And it looks like they don't care if it's true or not true. As long as the propaganda is out there and the majority of the people believe, they're going to try to go they're going to use a lights out scenario. And when I say lights out scenario, I believe back in 2003, I was in Manhattan at the time working there. They had the Eastern Coast go out and it blacked out. And I believe they were testing that for a future event. And here we are today, and all you hear is power grid hacking. And then I think back to Janet Napolitano back from DHS, and I think this was all planned from the beginning. It might not be the narrative they wanted, but they're sticking to their goals. Their goal is to bring the economy down, blame it on another country or group. And it looks like they are still headed that way. I mean, the economy is going to collapse no matter which way you look at it. It doesn't matter who's in the White House, because the economy right now is built on an illusion. So when you look at this illusion, it's going to completely fall apart. I mean, it's already starting to fall apart in many different economic sectors. And I've been following this for like 4 years now and reporting on it every single day to show people how an economy falls apart over time and how they can create an illusion to prop it up. I mean, if we think back to 2008, 2007, when we had the subprime security issue, the crisis at the time, there were a few individuals looking at it saying, there's something wrong here, and they're scratching their heads. How come it's not collapsing? It should have done it this time. It should have done it at this time. And what was happening is they are pros at keeping the illusion continually going until they want to bring it down. And this is what we're seeing right now. And it looks like they're getting prepared to bring down this entire system, one way or another.
As the moving vans are in front of the White House as we speak, their plans to bring this system down are still in play. And of course, Obama wants to leave, you know, on a high note, the Dow. I'm sure, as you said, will break 20. The numbers that are being published to the American public are false numbers based on junk economics. And the real numbers are hideous. And now we've got this operational discussion where Russia is the bad guy here, and not just interfering, but in influencing our elections. But now, hey, they're going to cause lights out, perhaps power out. And you're right. And I had forgotten about Napolitano. I'm glad you brought that up, because, and this is why, folks, Dave from x22report.com, this is why I follow his work. He follows the long game, and he does so methodically and with good research techniques, and the information brought forth. You can't argue with this. This is good stuff. Folks, you're listening to the Hagmann Report. We're going to be taking a couple of minutes here at the bottom of the hour. I just would direct everyone, again, to Dave's website. Excuse me, x22report.com. That's x22report.com. His latest, by the way, Naomi Prince Political Financial Roadmap for 2017. It's a must read, of course. And all of his articles, all of his reports, his alerts, everything on his website. Very important information. And again, support your independent journalist. Dave, x22report.com. Folks, we're going to be right back. Stay right where you're at. TheHagmannReport.com. That's our website for show information, show prep, all articles, including references to and bits and pieces that link back to x22report.com. Important news items, things you need to know, bookmark HagmannReport.com, and also HagmannandHagmann.com for show information. And the show itself, three venues, multiple venues. Take your pick. Our video will be back up. I can promise you this at the latest on Monday, but maybe before. But nonetheless, Monday will be back up video and full boat. Just want to tell you we appreciate your patience on that. Dave from the X22 Report is here, x22report.com, and talking about the economic things that are taking place in the economy as well as with geopolitically with Russia. And things are not good. But Dave, let me ask you a question. Coming out of the gate here, I got an email. This was over this past weekend, the holiday weekend, saying, you know, your reports on the economic collapse, meaning our reports, our calls that, hey, the economy it can't sustain itself. I mean, it's going to collapse. You're scaring people deliberately, and you should be ashamed of yourself. That was directed to me. How would you respond to that? I'm just curious as to how you would respond to something like that.
It's funny, I get the same exact emails.
Okay.
I get a lot of them. And, you know, something whenever I get those type of emails, I respond not just to the email, but I like to do it on my reports also. When someone says I'm scaring you or I'm talking doom and gloom, I think back to 2008, or I think about a hurricane or anything, any type of disaster that's coming our way. And I say to the individual or many individuals that, listen, would you rather me tell you to make sure your wealth is secure, make sure your family is secure, make sure that you're prepared for what is coming? Let's just take a hurricane for an example. If we know there's a hurricane coming, it's out in the ocean, it's headed our way, and I tell you, listen, this storm is so bad, it's going to wipe everything out in its path. Your house might be destroyed. Lives will be lost. And what you should do right now is prepare. Get food, get water, maybe have a weapon to protect your family. I would take some of your cash, your gold, or whatever you have, store it in someplace nice. Does that sound like it's doom and gloom, or am I telling someone to prepare for what is coming? Think about 38% of the people back in 2008 who lost their wealth. If somebody was out there telling them, listen, those subprime securities, it's a disaster. It's all the loans inside of those securities, more than half are defaulting right now. Moody's, S&P, the SEC, the government, they're lying. They're not AAA. It's garbage. They're going to collapse. Everything they're telling you about real estate right now, how everything is sustained, everything is fine, they're lying. Protect your wealth. Take your money out of those securities. Do whatever you have to, because the storm is coming. Now, maybe back then people will be saying, well, that's a lot of doom and gloom. You're telling me everything's going to collapse. People are going to lose, you know, their life savings. People are going to lose their pensions. But if you listened to that information back then, you would have been out of the subprime securities. You would have prepared for what was coming, and you would have been better off. So when people tell me this and I'm, you know, spreading doom and gloom, no, I am telling you, the government doesn't always tell you the truth. I would say maybe less than 1% of the time. They are doing whatever they have to do for their best interest, not yours. I mean, just think of Obamacare right now. If the government was really doing everything in your best interest, when Obamacare came out, why didn't they drop their government insurance and take Obamacare? Right? They were telling us how great it was. So right there and then, it tells you they're doing everything in their best interest. I'm telling everyone, listen, I don't make money from telling you what to do. I don't sell gold. I don't sell silver. I've been through it in 2008. I was laid off. I know what it feels like. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, you need to protect yourself, because this storm, and the storm that you've never ever seen before, is headed our way. This storm is going to be so bad that for those people who are not prepared and ready, it's going to be a disaster. Now, it does sound scary, and I am not a type of person that kind of like, you know, oh, don't worry, it's going to be okay. I rather just come out and say it, and we're all adults. Take the way you want. If you don't believe me, shut it off. Go listen someplace else. But just be warned, when this hits, it's going to be a disaster. And I'd rather see you prepared. I mean, I always tell people, listen, if I'm completely wrong and everything that I've been doing is way off mark, what did you lose? Let me see. You have a basement full of food, water. You got a lot of gold and silver. You got cash on hand. You might have a nice weapon. What did you lose? Because you can always get rid of the gold and silver. You have cash, you can spend that. And food you can eat. You lost absolutely nothing. But you're prepared.
Exactly.
That's exactly what I tell.
And thank you. Thank you for reinforcing that. Because it seems to me that there are... And I don't want to dwell on this, but it does seem to me that there are people out there who are saying, oh, your program, Hagman, you know, you do nothing but scare people, doom and gloom and all this. And I appreciate your response to this, because you get the same thing. And of course, somehow that turns into, well, you know, you tricked me, or you tricked the vulnerable, the most vulnerable, the elderly, for example, or some rot like that. And to me, I don't understand that mindset, because we are called to take care of our families. I know I certainly, as a father, as a husband, I would feel horrible if I didn't prepare my family for any eventuality. Yet you've got a bunch of mealy-mouthed weasels out there who that don't, and you know what, I'm going to stop there, but you get my point. Don't see the picture. But getting back to the geopolitics of things, as well as the Russian where we were at, where you were at with Russia and the geopolitics of everything. What the hell are we doing? And excuse my language, but what the hell are we doing stoking up Russia? I mean, what's the end game here to cause a war? What are they trying to do? Is obviously start a war, but why?
Well, from the beginning, since I've been reporting, to me, everything that I looked at, their plan was to have a war to cover up the collapse, because the central bank, which is a private corporation here in the United States and in many different areas around the world, there's many different central banks, and then there you have the Bank of International Settlement, you have the International Monetary Fund, but they don't want to be blamed for when the economy comes down. They know the debt is unsustainable. They know they've built an illusion that cannot be sustained. They know that these fiat systems only last around 40 to 45 years, maybe a year or two longer than that. They know that it just can't work. And we already see that it's starting to completely fall apart. And the reason why they're trying to provoke Russia or provoke North Korea, I mean, I saw an opinion piece on North Korea on how they can go in and do a minimal strike on North Korea's nuclear program and get out without starting a war. And I'm thinking to myself, really, you can go into a country, bomb a country with specific targets, and you don't think that country is going to do anything. You just attacked a country. A country didn't attack you, the United States, the elite. They attacked a country. This is how crazy they are.
What could possibly go wrong with that? Yeah, that's a plan.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, that's a great plan. But they want this war so they can blame it on another group or a country. And it looks like they're pointing towards Russia right now. And they're using cyber attacks. And it's actually a very good plan. I'll give them props for that, that a cyber attack is a good plan. It doesn't mean I'm condoning it. It means that it's a good plan, because cyber attacks, you really don't have to prove anything, except now that Trump wants proof. He wants to see the proof they have of, you know, how did Russia actually do this? What's the evidence? And so far, they've delayed it until Friday. He's supposed to get an intelligence briefing. We'll see what they tell him. But it's a great plan to say, listen, the financial system was attacked. It was a cyber attack. It shut down the financial system. Right now, we're going to have to shut down the banks, and we don't know what happened or what was lost. So as of right now, nobody can withdraw any money. And this is a very good plan on their part, because people will say, oh, okay, it's cyber attacked. Okay, for the next couple of days, we can't access our money because we don't know if we actually have money. Some people might run to the bank. Others probably will sit back and say, all right, no big deal. And then they can come out with the news saying, yes, it was Russia. Russia did this. They tried to bring down our financial system. And this could be followed up with maybe parts of the grid going out. Now, they're not going to bring – I mean, every time I mention this, people say, well, if they knock out the entire country and it blacks out, how is everyone going to know what's going on? Well, they're never going to knock out the entire country. They will do little sections of the country to get the effect, to make sure everyone understands, the East Coast was knocked out. That's it. So everyone in the Midwest and the West, they'll hear this and they'll say, oh my God, look what they did. Wall Street down, blacked out, the financial system down. And this will be playing all over the corporate media, and people will get angry. They'll side with the government that's telling them this. We might have to go to war with Russia, because now, as we know, NATO and the United States, anyone that uses any type of cyber attack, it is an act of war now. So they do have a good plan on convincing the population that we were hit by a cyber attack, bringing down the financial institution, hitting the power grid, and they probably could make a case, and the majority of the country most likely will believe them. And what they're going to do is, because the central bank wants to start this entire system all over again, they're going to try to maneuver this And it looks like they're trying very hard before Obama gets out of office. I mean, it's just strange of all the things he's doing right now with what? He has like 2.5 weeks left?
Yeah,
and
16 days.
It's very strange how hard they're pushing this when they know Trump is coming into the White House, which tells us they're not going to let up. They're going to continue with this, and they're going to push very hard because they feel they're losing power. They don't like to give up power. They can't come out and say, hey, we lied. They're going to have a lie on top of a lie on top of a lie to convince the people. And I see we're heading down this path that they might go all out on this, and they'll be able to shut down the entire system. They might even blame Trump for this, saying that, you know, his economic policies or whatever he was thinking of doing started the chain reaction, and everything started to fall apart when he started putting his policies into action. And mm-hmm. you know, they might spread this and move further with this, but we can see right now that these elite, they are not going to give up, and they want this whole thing covered up because they want to start this whole system all over again. They know their system is done. They know how long it lasts. They know what they need to do. They've done this throughout history, and it seems like they want a complete reset. They want everyone to forget that the central bank was responsible. They want the blame to be shifted to someplace else, and they want to start with a new currency. They want everyone to forget what happened in the past. And the war does this because all of a sudden they say, well, we're in a war. Everyone has to, you know, pitch in. We're not going to get supplies. We're not going to, you know, everyone has to sacrifice for this war. And they have a perfect story to reset the entire system once the war is done. And plus, they can reduce the population all at the same time. And this is exactly
maybe
what they
want.
Maybe
they can sell war bonds too. You know, I'm joking. You know, I'm joking.
They could sell war bonds. They can make more money for themselves.
Yeah, but what concerns me, and you said this, there seems to be this pedal to the metal rush on in the remaining 16 days. Does that suggest to you that Obama really doesn't want to cede power, or will he cede power and then this stuff will happen? I know you don't have a crystal ball. I'm just kind of trying to game this out in my head. What's the most likely scenario that you see ahead based on your reasoned analysis and your experience?
I think he wants to stay in office. Do I think it's a possibility at this point? Unless they pull something out of their hat and there's some type of major event right before Trump is inaugurated, I don't see it happening. I think they're planning on bringing down the economy during Trump's presidency. I think what they're going to do is make his presidency horrific, tough. I don't think he's jiving with the establishment. I mean, already we see that the Senate, Congress actually, has the audit the Fed bill back in. They're pushing it forward. We know that Trump most likely will sign it. The Fed is never going to let that happen. They'd rather start a war, blow something up, have a cyber attack before they're audited. And I can see all these different things that he's trying to do. And so far, I have to say he's quite true to his word, and his actions are meeting his words, which is surprising to me. I wasn't really a Clinton fan, a Trump fan, because I like to see the actions of these individuals and how they work. And, you know, it's always different from what they say and what they do. But so far, I see that he is following through on a lot of this, that when he was campaigning, everything that he promised. And it looks like he is actually following through on this. But I think he's there for a reason, not just because he won. He is the master of bankruptcies. He knows how to handle a system that is failing. He understands what to do when a system fails. He has many different corporations. He understands bankruptcy. And we need someone in office right now that can weather the storm. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be able to turn everything around, you know, in a split second. He's going to help weather the storm, and the storm is going to be quite awful.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said on that. What would happen, and now this is way out in the weeds here, so humor me on this. If something happened to Trump, obviously Pence would be elevated to the position of presidency. What kind of guy is Pence? Is he a globalist more so than Trump? Or I'm just trying to kind of, again, game this out in my head, all different scenarios. Would Pence carry on the Trump traditions, or would he acquiesce to the globalists, do you think?
I think he'll fold. I think right now Trump is larger than life. He's following along with Trump. But if Trump maybe gets assassinated, something happens, I don't think Pence would be able to continue on what Trump is doing. I don't think he has his personality the way he is. I don't think he has that. And I think he'll side with the elite. They might even have something on him. And I think he'll fold completely right out the gate. I don't think he'll be able to handle it, and he'll just go along with whatever they say.
Interesting to say that, because I know Sybil Edmonds, I don't know if you have heard her or follow her, or what your feeling is about her, but I do know that when she's come out with some great reports and talking about you're in D.C. any length of time, that they've got something on you, and it's, you know, it's a pretty much done deal. So, wow. Okay. So I heard a report, and this was on Drudge, and then moved off. But there's some shenanigans going on now with NATO and U.S. troops kind of poking at the defenses of Russia geographically. I don't know if you've heard anything about that, but it seems, again, consistent with what you're saying earlier about us poking at Russia and trying to start a war. Anything? Have you heard about that, or any news on that? That might be a day or two old, but nonetheless, it's still relevant.
Yeah, they have the Operation Atlantic Resolve right now in full swing, and they're bringing in 2,000 tanks, 4,000 troops out to this area. Russia is placing nuke-ready missiles in Kaliningrad, which is their own soil. But we see that they've been moving troops, assets throughout Eastern Europe, putting them into caves. And I've been tracking the movements of all of this throughout time. And they moved a lot of hardware throughout Eastern Europe, out into the Pacific. And it, over time, when you look at this, you could see they were definitely preparing for a war, because you don't do any of this if you're not preparing for something. And it only started up maybe 4 or 5 years ago, where they started really moving things into different areas. But something very interesting, I don't know if you caught this, Obama, in his last couple of weeks here, decided to call back all the aircraft carriers back to the United States, which is very...
I didn't see that. No.
Yeah, he recalled all aircraft carriers back to the United States. We only have a couple of ships out in different locations. But this, to me, is very odd that he would recall the Eisenhower, the aircraft carrier Bush that were in the Mediterranean. All of it is now coming back to the United States. And to me, I'm thinking this is a complete setup, almost like Pearl Harbor, where all the ships are here in the United States, and there's nothing out. We still have our bases, we still have our troops, but we don't have the support of these ships out in different areas, which is a very strange thing to do in your last 2.5 weeks in office. He's doing a lot of strange things for a president who is leaving office.
Yeah,
it makes no sense to me that he would be worrying about all of this. Most of the presidents who are leaving office, they're packing up, they're getting ready to go to their next career, and they're leaving it all behind. But from him, he has the UN Arms Treaty back in the Senate, which is very odd. He recalled all the aircraft carriers. He's going on with this Russian hacking thing. And it, to me, this is a very, very, I mean, to me, it, when you really look at it, it seems like, oh, I'm not leaving. This is, I'm still doing this. I'm still president and I'm not leaving. I don't care if Trump's coming in. And it, that's what it seems to me. That's what it seems like. It's very, very odd at this point.
I totally agree. And I just, yeah, folks, I hope you really have, and I know you've appreciated Dave from x22report.com, his expertise, his analysis over the last two segments. And we got about 3 minutes left, Dave. I'm going to just let you close out with whatever final thoughts you might have. Because, frankly, I think this is perhaps one of the most important hours of radio that we've done in a long time, and I want to thank you for your analysis. And but without further ado here, and I don't want to take any more of your time, the next 2.5 minutes we've got, your final thoughts.
Well, I would just say to everyone right now is that this economy, and it's funny because I was just speaking to my father, who just started to look at what was really going on. He didn't believe me throughout many, many years. And all of a sudden, he's like, you know, things aren't really making sense. And the economy doesn't make sense. Everything doesn't make sense. And he started to prepare by getting food, water, supplies. He started purchasing gold. And every time I report or I talk to him or I tell him something, you know, he always has a lot of questions of why this is all happening. But what I would tell people is to look at what's really going on. Don't listen to me. Look at what is going on. Go a little bit deeper. Take a look at what's going on with the financials, with the economy. And when they tell you something like, you know, a retail is the best thing ever, or real estate is incredible, dig a little deeper to see if it's true. And when you look at these numbers and when you look at the economy and what they're saying, you'll find out that a lot of it isn't true. A lot of it is created to keep this illusion alive. And with every illusion, it falls apart. So I would say to everyone right now, the worst possible thing that you can do right now is not to prepare, not to have extra food, not to have cash on hand, not to have gold, because you really don't lose anything if you have these things on hand. You lose if you don't have them. Because when things start to fall apart, like in 2008, I mean, some people were affected, some people weren't. I mean, those people who were affected probably wish they were prepared and ready for it. This time, I don't think many people are going to escape this. This time, I think it's going to be the whole, because I think this time it's the entire system, not just a couple of companies, not a bailout. I think the system is just done.
I totally agree. Dave from X22Report.com, I want to thank you for your gracious gift of time tonight. We will continue to support you, talk about you, promote you, your work, your reason and analysis, your investigative research, and a shining light in the independent media. And I want to say again, thank you so much for spending your time tonight with us.
Hey, Doug, thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right, sir. God bless, sir, to you and your family. Folks, HagmanReport.com, that's our website, Hagman and Hagman for Show, accessibility, HagmanReport.com, bookmark that. And also, X22Report.com, support Dave and X22Report.com. And be right back. Stay right where you're at.